Good afternoon. This is Commissioner Susan Wiefald with the North Dakota Public Service Commission. The commission is starting its informal hearing on Montana-Dakota Utilities, a division of MDU, and they're here to visit with us about U.S. bioenergy jurisdictional determination in case number PU072270. With me today are my fellow commissioners, Commissioner Tony Clark and Commissioner Kevin Kramer. And I'll go first to them to ask if they have any opening comments.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
All right. And then we'll go around the table and we'll have first Public Service Commission staff identify themselves for the record.
Bill Benning, staff.
Patrick Bond, staff.
Jerry Lean is busy. He's staff who is here with us today. Any other staff in the room? All right, now we'll go to MDU, and first we'll have the people who will be participating in the informal hearing identify themselves.
Dan Kuntz with MDU Resources Group, Council.
Dave Yexley with Montana-Dakota Utilities, Project Manager and Senior Staff Engineer.
Don Ball, Montana-Dakota Utilities.
And then there's other Montana-Dakota Utility people in the room as well. Would they like to identify themselves also, please?
Tammy Eberly with Montana-Dakota Utilities.
Jay Scable with Montana-Dakota Utilities.
Larry Oswald with Montana-Dakota Utilities.
And you're here for the next hearing? Yes. All right, and we'll hear from you later then. All right, thank you. All right, the commission has received, on this case, we have received a letter from MDU. Prior to that, we received a memorandum from staff on December 20th of 2007. And I'm wondering if it might be best if we went over that memorandum first, since that's the first piece that the commission received. And then we can hear, then we'll hear from MDU their response to that memorandum. So the commissioners have all had a chance to read that memo, but if you can just go through it again with us and give us a summary of it, Bill, that would be helpful. We'll go to Bill Binnick, Commerce Counsel for the commission.
Well, this MDU requested a jurisdictional determination on this several months ago. This is been going on for quite a long period of time, and what it involves is the gas line from Alliance Pipeline to the new ethanol facility near Hankinson, and the pipeline is serving just that ethanol facility. We've had a couple of prior cases where the commission made jurisdictional determinations. Those are the only ones that I'm aware of. First one was Prairie Lands, which was an MDU company that not Montana Dakota, but the Prairie Lands company. Provided a pipeline to, or built a pipeline to provide gas to, I think it's a canola plant up at
Elba.
And anyway, that one was done a number of years ago. Then more recently, we had the one also down in the southeast corner of the state. The Fairmont Natural Gas Pipeline, that was a gas pipeline, again, off the Alliance Pipeline that provided gas to a facility actually located in South Dakota. And we were involved with the pipe from the pipeline to the South Dakota line. And in both of those cases, the commission made a jurisdictional determination that these were distribution lines. Now, after the Prairie Lands pipeline was built, first of all, there isn't a definition of distribution in our statutes. And so the commission had adopted a policy many years ago. Dan told me it was 4 days after he left the commission. Anyway, the commission had trying to had adopted a policy, and I had attached a copy of that to the memorandum, where they determined that farm tap pipelines, distribution systems, and return fuel lines were not jurisdictional because they were used for shorter distances at lower pressures and lesser volumes. And then Pat and I, in going through this initially, my thought was, well, this is just like what we've been doing in the past, so it shouldn't be a problem. But the more we looked into it, the more we had a problem with trying to deal with the, especially the gas safety provisions, which do have the definition which distinguishes between distribution lines and transmission lines, and that the federal regulations actually contained a change that we think is pretty significant. It was in 1996, which was after the Prairie Lands Pipeline was built and determined by the commission. And what the feds did was they changed that definition to include a transmission line being one that transports gas from a gathering line or storage facility to a distribution center storage facility, and they added this language, or large volume customer that is not downstream from a distribution center and then operates at hoop stress of 20% or more of specified minimum yield strength and or transports gas within a storage facility. This change took effect before the Fairmont decision was made. In the application for Fairmont, they used the old definition instead of the new one. I don't know if that was a factor or not. But anyway, so now we're trying to figure out it seems to us that to staff that the commission's policy that's been in effect really probably should be changed to more correctly follow the federal definition of transmission line and be more in sync with that. And that is the recommendation that we make, because the Siting Act doesn't exempt pipelines operated at lower pressures and doesn't exempt pipelines operated at lesser volumes. And because the policy has been in effect, we recognize that and recognize that MDU probably or may have relied on that. And so our recommendation is that for this particular situation, that the commission not conduct a full siting proceeding, but that MDU prepare what we called an environmental impact assessment that accounts for the factors considered by the commission for determining whether a route permit should be issued under the Siting Act. No.
What is the difference between asking for a the environmental impact assessment? What is the difference between that and asking for the full siting proceeding, if you can just explain that?
Well, I guess what we're thinking is just having them look at the Siting Act requirements and provide some type of report to the commission on, you know, whether there are any exclusion areas or avoidance areas or anything like that that have been crossed by this pipeline. You know, just kind of give a report to the commission is the thought that we had. And I guess I'd ask Pat if he has any other remarks or comments he'd like to make, that he'd do so. Pat?
I think that spells it out pretty well. The pipeline, we discovered the pipeline had been built already, and we understand, and the company can confirm whether they were, you know, operating under the what they believed was the commission's policy in the past. And, you know, based on those two possibilities, we thought that a compromise would be, you know, not to require full siting. And the fact that the commission hasn't actually adopted and hasn't actually changed their policy, their past policy at this point, even though that the pipeline safety regulations have changed. Going forward, we think the commission should review its policy, change its policy, but not subject to this particular line to the full siting provision.
To my only concern is we're either doing it half right or half wrong, and that's kind of what compromise sometimes is. But it's even a little bit of requirement implies that we had authority and we're exercising authority retroactively. That's my only concern about it. No, I'm not against it. Everybody wants to go along and do this. I'm not against it, but it is a little bit of an awkward position.
If you're gonna break precedent, either break it a little or a lot, you're still breaking precedent.
Right.
Well, and it's staff position that policy isn't law. It's not a rule, even.
Why did they come to the commission staff for a jurisdictional determination if then they didn't wait for it?
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay. How long? What was the difference in time between? You can answer this. When did MDU come originally and ask these questions of staff?
July 23rd was the formal request.
Yeah. July 23rd. Okay, and so then mid-November, you contacted Non-Ball staff to relay staff's thoughts. And is that when you found out that the pipeline had already been built?
That was.
Or did you know that before that?
No, I didn't know that. I don't believe I knew that before.
No.
Then there's always been questions at the commission about the question of policies versus rules and what should be in policy and what should be in rules. And I have heard people comment on this over the years. We don't have many policies that relate to substantive determinations that relate to jurisdiction. We would you comment again on the difference between a policy and a rule in this matter?
I'm just looking for it. I think I talked some about that in okay. Section, this is where I responded to MDU's comments back to us. They referred to Section 2832.01.11, which in part states that a rule means a whole or a part of an agency statement of general applicability which implements or prescribes law or policy or the organization, procedure, or practice requirements of the agency. And it in subsection 11K of 2832.01, it states that the term rule does not include any material, including a guideline, interpretive statement, statement of general policy, manual, brochure, or pamphlet, which is explanatory and not intended to have the force and effect of law. But so basically, the policy is would be explanatory, not interpreting a law, and not intended to have the force and effect of law. So.
In other words, but it's more than just a guideline.
Well, they include in 2032.01, they include this as part of the materials, guideline, interpretive statement, statement of general policy. It kind of appears that they lump those kind of all together.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Commissioner Clark, do you have any questions at this time for staff?
Out of staff, no.
Okay. All right. Commissioner Kramer, anything additional at this time for staff? Anything else staff wants to say at this time before we go to MDU?
Only that it really doesn't matter to staff how it's dealt with. It's just we needed to bring it
to the commission's attention that things have changed from what we thought they were before. All right. Okay, next let's go to MDU, and I believe Mr. Kuntz is going to speak first.
Thank you. And, this is a 16-mile, 6-inch pipeline that runs from the compressor station on Alliance, which is an interstate transmission company, to the new Hankinson ethanol facility. And after I've completed a little bit, I'll let Mr. Yexley go through it, because there's three things we'd like to talk about with the commission today. Is first of all, this jurisdictional question. Second is the recommendation for an environmental assessment statement. And then third, we'd like to give the commission, kind of tied to that environmental assessment statement, is give the commission a comfort level in terms of what was done, how this pipeline was built, and where it was built. And we have some, as you can see, the alignment sheets, as well as some a few slides to show you of the before and after and during construction. And I think maybe that explain why our position on the environmental statement. First of all, I think it's important to remember that the Siting Act was passed in 1975, and it only applies to transmission pipelines, but it didn't have any definition of transmission pipelines. And that jurisdiction hasn't changed in all these years. That law hasn't changed. So the commission's jurisdiction, whatever it was in 1975, is the same as it is today. It never was tied to the federal safety definition of a transmission pipeline. Apparently in 1985, the commission had a request from another pipeline company, apparently along this line, what's a transmission pipeline? And the commission adopted a policy, formally adopted, but not through a rulemaking. There was some discussion whether they should have a rulemaking, but apparently decided not to do it. They adopted kind of a functional test that if the pipeline was basically being used to serve an end-use customer, it was a distribution line and not a transmission line. And that, I think, is basically what the commission has followed, albeit not very often, but that's kind of the precedent and the policy the commission has used with respect to at least the Prairie Lands line and the Fairmont line. And that's, we assume the precedent and the policy the commission would use in this line in requesting a jurisdictional statement for our records that this line wasn't jurisdictional. We have some for our file. But we went forward on the belief that that, you know, based upon how we knew the line was going to be used, that that's how it would fall in. And as Mr. Yexley will tell you, in this part of the state, we had a couple of things dry. We had a very narrow window on when we could build this. And it really needed to be built in the fall after the crops were off, but when it was dry down there, and yet still meet the construction schedule that the plant was looking at. So we needed to get it done last fall. You know, we didn't realize there was going to be a problem with this. They just went ahead and built it, and the line, as Mr. Binnick has pointed out, the line is built. We believe that this is subject, if you're going to change this definition, we don't have a real problem if you want to look at changing it, but we think you have to do it prospectively. It is a rule because it does implement a law. It is general applicability. You've got a policy out there that says that lines that are used this way are not subject to our transmission. To me, that's implementing a law. It's a general applicability. Anybody can, you know, it applies to whoever's, you know, would be subject to that, and I think it would require a rulemaking proceeding. Or better yet, possibly going back to the legislature, because we've had basically 22 years of operating under this policy, and the legislature has never disagreed with that policy interpretation. And I think most of us, when we think of a transmission pipeline, this isn't what we're thinking about. We're thinking about the lines that, you know, that run, you know, 100 or 200 miles across the state is, I think, really what this act was designed to get to. Now, that doesn't mean you can't cite shorter lines, but no matter where you draw the line, there's always going to be some arbitrariness, and you can argue that, well, this, you know, maybe there should be or shouldn't be. And we don't have a problem if the commission wants to look at its policy again as part of a rulemaking proceeding. We like the functional test. We understand it. We think it's worked. But if you want to revisit that, that's not a problem. But we think it needs to be done prospectively, and we think it should be done through a rulemaking proceeding. The important part is that the federal safety definition of a transmission pipeline, which affects federal safety jurisdiction, is just that. That did merely fact that that was changed did not change your jurisdiction under the Siting Act. Your jurisdiction today is the same as it's always been, regardless of what the feds do with respect to their safety jurisdiction. And frankly, the distinction that the federal act makes with respect to whether the end user is upstream or downstream of a distribution center probably has some merit when you're looking at from a safety perspective and the pressures that you would expect, as opposed to from a siting perspective. I think you have a hard time trying to distinguish why would you site an end-use pipeline upstream but not one that's downstream. From an environmental standpoint, I don't know what difference that would make. So, we don't have a problem looking at it, but we think it needs to be done prospectively and should be done through a rulemaking proceeding, and no doubt there's other parties besides MDU that would want to be involved in that. From the recommendation for an environmental assessment, you know, our concern is the same, basically two. The first is the one that Commissioner Kramer pointed out. You can't kind of have half jurisdiction, and it's not that we have a big problem going out and doing an environmental assessment, but if we did that, it would almost be an acquiescence to your jurisdiction, which would mean, then does that mean you could tell us to move the pipeline after it's in the ground? And, you know, we're concerned, would that force us to challenge the commission's determination on here over this one particular line? And I don't think that's to anybody's benefit. The other thing is, as I mentioned, the line's been built. I'm not sure what an environmental assessment at this point is going to accomplish unless you make us move the line, which, again, of course, is obviously a concern to us. And so that's our concern with the staff recommendation. I think as you hear Mr. Yexley explain how the line was built, we don't have any objection at all to the goals of the Siting Act and dealing with the environment. And I think you'll see that we tried to address a lot of those things, even on this line, even though it was not jurisdictional. But you know, obviously, we are concerned. We don't want to be subject to penalties, and we don't want to have to move a line that's already in the ground and in the middle of winter before the rain starts. So that's our concern with the staff's recommendation. If I could, I'd like Mr. Yexley to kind of go over and take the commission to kind of describe where this line runs. And I think, is Tammy, or are you going to run the, or is Jerry going to run the slides? Okay.
I have a question before sure. He starts, if that would be all right. I would like to know when you did first contact the commission staff on a jurisdictional determination, and when MDU decided that it didn't need that jurisdictional determination and it just decided to go ahead and building the pipeline.
Well, the formal request for the jurisdictional determination is dated July 23rd. I don't know if there was any prior discussions to that, oral discussions, but the written request was then. And perhaps Don's got some idea, but my understanding is that the reason for the request is to have something in your file that says you're right, you were okay in building this, and you've got something to reflect the fact that you did it correctly. Not that we felt that we needed siting, or obviously we'd have filed the application in the first place rather than the request for the determination. We felt, based upon the way how it was being used, where it was being built, that this was, you know, letting the commission know that this is the line, this is how it's being built, and, you know, we'd like something for our file indicating that, you know, you don't need a route permit for that. But I don't think we ever dreamt the fact that the policy was going to, you know, somebody was going to change the policy, and therefore we would be subject to it. So
I guess the when did construction begin then on the pipeline?
Approximately towards last week in September, first week in October.
Well, I might note that there was a kind of a companion application PCNN. For a PCNN to build pipeline to serve the the ethanol facility in Hankinson. And there was a transportation service agreement as part of that. And the commission approved those on July 25.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure that was that particular application was, I'll just say, on file for a minimum of 30 days prior to that. But I guess I don't know the exact date that was filed.
And then is it, did you follow general standard operating procedure and then in not notifying the commission of when you were starting to build the pipeline?
I'm not sure we have a standard operating procedure of not notifying the commission. I think it was just the case of the field people were moving forward. We hadn't heard anything from the commission to indicate that we would need siting determination, and frankly, I think the people just moved forward without really giving it a thought at that point. It certainly wasn't a slap at the commission or a slight at the commission. I think it was the feeling we didn't need it. It wasn't jurisdictional. We could build it. We were waiting for the commission's, you know, letter to that effect, but we really didn't believe there was any reason we weren't going to get the letter. We hadn't been notified that there was, you know, any reason to believe that we were going to need to file a siting application on that. So, I mean, was it an oversight that we should have checked to see where this was at? You know, in hindsight, yeah, we probably should have.
What's the status right now of the connection of the pipeline to the facility?
We're waiting for Alliance to do their portion of the tap. We have our portion is finished, except we're waiting for Alliance to actually tap into their pipeline.
And when do you anticipate that that will occur?
Well, that's been a moving target a little bit. They told us it was supposed to be December 1st, and they moved it to January 1st, and they moved it to February 1st. Now they said maybe March 1st. And fortunately, the ethanol plant construction is, because of the cold weather, has slowed as well.
Mm-hmm.
So they anticipate that... I just soon not break through 8-foot frost to go into their station. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's their problem. That's Alliance's part mm-hmm. of it, not ours. But mm-hmm. our part is essentially all done.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to work with them any way we can.
Okay, thank you.
Dave, why don't you start? And this line starts at the Alliance Compressor Station, and why don't you just point where that's at, Dave?
Okay, this is the Alliance Compressor Station, which is approximately, if you're familiar with that part of North Dakota, from Highway 11 and where 127, Richland County 127 intersect, just on the outskirts of Fairmont. It's approximately 4 miles south and a mile and a half west.
And then it runs north approximately how many miles?
It runs north approximately 4.5 miles, crossing, this is Highway 11 right here, over predominantly agricultural and tillable ground.
And then it turns west, right? And that's where our map kind of...
Our map, this is north. Up is north on this map.
Okay, and then we have a little gap there. But why don't you just walk the commission through and describe, you know, kind of section by section, what type of land it's showing on that alignment sheet that the pipeline was built on, and where there were any deviations made, why they were made, and how road was handled and so forth.
Okay, first, starting at the south, the first mile was all tillable farm ground. And we directionally bored all highways and any major crossings. I don't know if you're familiar with Richland County, but they have a lot of drains down there, and there's some big, huge ditches, and we directionally bored those ditches.
I'm guessing it's lots of sugar beets and corn, just a guess.
Right. And we wanted to work with the farmers. This particular part of the country, when I first went down and looked at it, there was whole sections underwater. They just received 7 inches of rain. I mean, it was sad. A lot of the crops had ground out in a lot of places in this area.
And was this the first time that a pipeline had been built through this area, or were you adjacent to another pipeline?
It's right. It's the first one that's going north, the South Dakota one that goes into South Dakota that serves the tri-state ethanol plant at Rosshill, originates at the same site and goes south.
But this was a greenfield site, you might call it, meaning no other pipeline is going right next to this or whatever, all right?
When we site a pipeline, we try to eliminate, you know, any population areas where people are populated, so, you know, that to remove from a safety standpoint. The other thing we look at is utility corridors. In this particular case, we went right up the section line, again, because a lot of the ditches in Richland County are actually drainage ditches. They're not like your typical ditch. If you drive off in them with a vehicle, you'll never get out of them unless somebody pulls you out, because they're steep and they're used as drainage structures. When we reached the Canadian Pacific Railroad, which is right along this line here, and it's right here, we paralleled that particular railroad all the way into the plant.
And was that agricultural, tilled agricultural land?
That is correct. Except for one little section right towards the end here, where there's a little section of pasture land right here, right where this is it right here. From that tree there to this road here is the only section of pasture land we crossed.
So everything else was tillable agricultural land.
Yes.
And I see there's a little kind of a little Y in the pipeline. Can you explain to the commission why that's there?
Okay, right here in this section here is where the railroad Y's in both directions and goes to Rosshill, the Canadian Pacific Railroad. And we could have directionally bored all the way across here, but my concern was that this was a kind of a wetlands area, so we avoided that. And we stayed on the tillable farm ground, plus there's no way to get into that. There's no way that you can get into service that location at all. So we followed along, board it. And then right along this particular case here, there's actually a drainage ditch that goes right along here. Comes in here, and then I think it goes out here, I guess. And then we crossed. Eventually, we'd have to get to the north side of the railroad tracks, because the plant is on the north side of the railroad tracks.
In doing your siting, then, are you required? Let's assume that. Let's say if there had been this, you were assuming that you were under no jurisdiction from the commission, but even under no jurisdiction of the commission, are there any state agencies that you had to notify not being under the jurisdiction of the commission?
There was some environmental, I think our environmental department took care of, you know, as far as storm drainage permits, county permits, that was all taken care of.
I just wondered, because like 115 kV transmission lines, even though they're not cited by the commission, I've seen things from the State Historic Preservation Office that relate to assessments for cultural issues that they've had to go through. Because I see determinations from the SHPO on a regular basis about 115 kV lines that aren't jurisdictional commission. So I just wondered whether that was part of your process as well.
I'm not familiar with how North Dakota does the historical part of it. However, we do, when we cite it on tillable agricultural land, we assume that there's no historical, where it's already been tilled by the farmers down to, you know, up to 2 feet of depth. There would be no historical. As well as we have three inspectors on the job that are watching the when we're trenching the ditch, that they watch for any you know,
remains
or anything like that that may come up, and that would stop the project. We never encountered that on the job.
So you're explaining where you crossed the railroad track? No, and then the other one, you said you crossed to the north side?
Right here, we crossed the north side. That was under the railroad tracks. That was directionally bored. All roads, our policy is to directionally bore all roads and any stream that has flowing water in it. It's just, it just makes it a lot easier. And, you know, with directional bore techniques and pricing nowadays, it's just a cheaper way to go. Another thing we do is, on my projects, I do 100% well inspection, x-ray on all my wells. This job was 100% of all of it.
And so did you follow then the railroad right-of-way, parallel the railroad right-of-way the rest of the way to the plant?
Right.
Except I think there's kind of a little jog out towards the end, right?
Right. Well, right here at the end is where we actually go onto plant property. And this isn't exactly as built. The plant requested that we move to the north side of the property in the event that in the future, if they ever decided to add more railroad tracks, that the piping wouldn't have to be moved over. So we actually roped over here to the north side of the property rather than putting two fittings in. It was a lot easier just to rope over because they do have a stock dam here that was butts up right against the north side of the property, and we'd have to go on the south side of that anyway.
And you needed to get all of the easements for the route.
That is correct.
Right? And so those were all obtained, when would you say? Last summer?
They were obtained probably in the probably August and September time frame.
Mm-hmm.
If no question, we can show some of the slides and Dave can explain those.
I know Bill had just indicated to me he has to leave in about 5 minutes. I know I've got about 1:30 I have to leave for a brief time, and I do want...
2:30, you mean?
Or 2:30, I'm sorry. And I'd like to be able, I think the Shorestone thing should be fairly quick now looking at Jerry's updated memo, but I just want to make sure we have an ability to get to all that.
But excuse me, you're suggesting that we
Either go fairly quickly through the,
yeah,
I don't know how long the project.
We only got about eight
okay.
slides or so. We can run through those pretty quickly, and Dave can just tell you what they are. So
sure. Let's keep going for a bit.
Okay.
Where do I point this, Jerry?
Do you want me to do it?
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't think Bill needs to be here for the Shoshone.
Okay.
No,
he doesn't.
I just
no.
need to leave in about 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Hey, why don't you explain what
okay,
this is?
Okay, this is looking at this particular section here is right looking right along this section here on the agricultural ground.
That's be pre-built, before it's built.
Pre-built construction, yes.
And that's the railroad right away to your left?
To your left, yes.
So you would have been paralleling that kind of on the left, right edge.
We're out here in the tillable farm ground.
Next one, Jerry.
This is looking the other direction. This is looking in the same quarter section. This is looking east.
And again, the railroad to the right.
What is the distance from it to the railroad?
We're approximately 30 feet off the railroad track.
Mm-hmm.
And so you would have been paralleling that railroad
right
track.
Here.
Next one, Jerry. Same thing.
This is, a little further down in this, let's see here. We're in this area right in here.
And this is all prior to construction?
Correct.
Okay, Jerry?
This particular area here is right looking east. This road is the start of the plant property right here. This is looking east towards this tree, is that bunch of trees right there.
Okay, Jerry?
That was the pasture land.
No, that was the short chunk of pasture land. This just shows welding the pipe up, We worked with the farmers, and 90% of the farmers got their crops off prior to our construction. They were able to harvest them. It was that late in the fall. They were able to get, and then they just, you know, the ones, they took them a little early and had to dry some of the corn, but they were able to get them. This here shows the trenching machine going through there. We actually double ditched. We in the other states that we work in, we always make it a conscientious effort to double ditch the pipeline, meaning we take the top 12 to 16 inches of topsoil, throw it on the working side of the pipeline, back the trencher up, and then we go down to a minimum of 60 to 66 inches. So we're getting 4 to 4.5 to 5 foot of cover for the entire line.
Okay, Jerry.
This here shows just we're getting, he's cleaning the area. This is actually on the plant site, but we always chop any grasses to minimize any fires that may occur because of welding operations. We try to minimize that. And that shows the plant well under construction at this stage. This was taken in October 4th of 07. This particular case is the as-built of that same picture we saw earlier, looking towards that pasture. This is what it looked like after we came through. We reseeded the area. We strawed it, and then we had a contractor come in with a machine that stabs the straw right into the sod so that, you know, we don't get any erosion or blowing. Some of the areas in this particular are very sandy. We wanted to make sure that we tried to minimize erosion as much as possible. Next. This is another area that there was kind of a highly erosive soil, so we went ahead and strawed it and punched the straw in so that to minimize the erosion on the crop.
So as you look at this photograph, that kind of lighter area down the center would be the right-of-way, the pipeline right-of-way after it was built.
A little closer up of that operation. This is looking towards the interstate, I-29. This is a midpoint valve that required under federal guidelines to put in as a safety issue. It's a line, you need a valve within 10 miles of any point on the pipeline. This is a midpoint valve that we installed, which is located approximately right here.
And is that it, Jerry? Yep. I think that's the last one.
And that shows you, looking, you can see Fairmont. Believe it or not, it's a mile and a half away. Yeah, the Red River Valley is flat as it is. You can stand in the middle of the job, you can see the compressor station and the plant.
That's all we have, Commissioner. Thank you for your time.
Okay. I think the commission should hold a work session on this to make a determination of what we want to do, whether we want to. Well, we need to determine if we want to go for a rulemaking, if we want to use the present policy, if we...
Well, even a rulemaking, though, is separate from this issue, it seems to me. My personal view is that I think anything we did would be applying something retroactively.
I'm comfortable with how things worked in this case, given the precedent.
Right.
But I agree. I think staff raises some good questions about needing to take another look at this. I don't know if it requires legislation or not, but I certainly wouldn't be opposed to, you know, sitting down and chatting about it.
I think we should at a minimum go for a rulemaking on this and move forward with a rulemaking on this, and I think we should at some point, what I think is we have to find a way to get rid of our present policy and say we no longer have determined that this present policy is in effect. Because I don't want that policy on the book until a rulemaking is done in case there's another pipeline that comes up. I want the commission to be able to use its own discretion in the meantime between now and when a rulemaking could be finished. And so there's got to be some way that we can, if you pass a policy, you should be able to say this policy is no longer, we don't want this policy any longer until we determine and determine on a case-by-case basis what we want to do in these situations. So I think that those are important things to bring before the commission for us to talk about at a work session as to how to proceed. I am concerned because I have seen even on gathering lines a SHPO determinations. So
it might be if you're on federal lands.
I'm not SHPO, but
it may be if you're on federal lands.
I don't know.
Some of those. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, but a 16-mile pipeline on a greenfield site isn't insignificant. You know, that is a. It isn't insignificant. And another thing that concerns me is that the timeline that you had for the commission, I mean, again, we've talked about this morning, too. It is helpful to the commission. If we had said even right away that you needed to do siting, you wouldn't have had time because you hadn't started any of the process.
We'd have to come in for a request for, you know, a partial exemption or whatever. I mean, I forget the process again, but you're right. I think
you didn't allow time for the process
because nobody thought that we needed it. I mean, if you're right, if
given as many years of precedent as we have,
if we'd have thought siting was necessary for this thing, we would have needed to get that filed at least in the springtime.
That's right.
You know, and that I mean, but I think it was the fact that it was filed when it was the reflection of the fact that we didn't believe we needed it, and it was more looking for a confirmation from that from the commission, you know, and. Rather than coming in and asking for an application. If we'd have thought we needed it, we'd have filed an application long before that because we know the lead time is you know, obviously more than 2 months on a siting determination.
Well, Pat, I think you should put down for a work session for the commission. And if you have on the next admin to talk about when we want to set up a work session to talk about what we do with this policy that's on the books and how we can what actions we want to take regarding that policy, and if we want to go to a rulemaking, I think that would be appropriate at this time now that we recognize this concern.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.